Do you know? Cannabis. No, no, don't laugh. Don't laugh. It's nothing to laugh about. I'm sorry. It's nothing to laugh about. I'm serious. We're cannabis. And now, if you are traveling right now on Halloween day, okay, if you purchase some candy, you got to watch out. If it has label THC on it. THC stands for tetrahydrocarbon cannabinol. Let me repeat. THC stands for tetrahydrocarbon cannabinol. And tetrahydrocannabinol is actually an ingredient of marijuana, of the pot. Now, when I was in high school, two friends of mine love putting pots in the locker, and I hate that because I smell it. I was brought up in Regent Park. You know where Regent Park is, right? How many of you know Regent Park? Can I see some hand? Do you know Regent Park? Regent Park is actually a low-income building complex built in Metro Toronto. And the crime rate is so high, and we have all pots around. And today, my sermon is focusing on the deterioration of his people. And we appreciate Pastor Daniel, who brought this up for us. And we're going to pray for this country. We're going to pray for our own nation. And we don't like to be called cannabis. Okay? So may our Lord have mercy on our nation. Today we're going to focus, what are the points of serving God? Now the word serve means worship. The word serve means worship. And back then in Malachi, okay, in Malachi, and it's actually the very last book of Old Testament. And God actually presented an oracle to the people, and which is the final oracle before the 400 silent period. Because there was no revelation during the 400 years prior to the book of Matthew. So right now, God is delivering an oracle. And the word oracle really means a statement of judgment. There's no good news. Right now, there's no good news. Every day when you open your newspaper, absolutely no good news at all. Basically the same. It's an oracle of statement of judgment to the people. And the word Malachi means messenger. It's a messenger. It's a messenger from the Lord. And what is special about the book of Malachi is the fact that it was presented in six dialogues. It was six dialogues. And I'm going to pick and choose only four dialogues for you. And the chapter one, it illustrates the spiritual life of the Israelites. And they are collapsing. They are declining. They're actually losing relationship with the Lord. So in chapter 1, verse 2, Jehovah said, I have loved you. But the people said, how have you loved us? Prove to me. So they actually question about the love of God. That is the first dialogue. And then the Lord said, Father, the Son honors the Father. You're the Son. Chinese people honor the Father, right? But you guys do not honor me. And the servant respect the master. And I am a master. The Lord said, I'm master. But where is my respect? Why? Because they actually offer cripple, disease, and blemish animals, blind animals on the altar. They offer all these so-called secondary animals to the Lord. So that's the first chapter. And the second chapter, okay, we are talking about the social relationship. The first is the spiritual relationship. The second is the social life. The priests allow the people to marry the daughters of the unbelievers. They intermingle with the people in the pagan world. Now, at this moment, when Malachi was writing the book, it was about 430 years before Christ, during the Persian Empire. And they have returned from exile for over 100 years, and they're living in affluent life. They're living a very complacent life, just like you and I in Canada. Very comfortable, good income, driving expensive cars, having huge mansion. Okay, I drive around Mississauga. I admire you guys' lifestyle because most of your houses are very beautiful. I live in Scarborough, much less. Houses are not as good as you guys are. Affluent. We're living in an affluent life, a complacent life. But the social life is terrible. They intermingle with the unbeliever's daughter. And the Lord accused and rebuked them and saying to them, you have forgotten your wife of your youth. So remember in the Old Testament, God always used marriage to illustrate his relationship with the Israelite people. Okay? So the second, it's about the social life. They intermarry with unbeliever's daughter. And one word God said, I hate divorce. That's what written in the Bible. I hate divorce. Yet God divorces people because his people are involved in idolatry. Now, you know the divorce rate in this country? You know the divorce rate in this country? 47%. So in other words, two couples, let's say two couples walk into the church aisle, there will be one couple walk out to the court. Let me repeat, okay? Let's say there are two couples getting married in a church, okay? And let's say Pastor Daniel is going to ordain their official marriage. Two couples walk in, okay? And one couple walk out to the court. Why they're walking out to the court? Because they file for divorce. That's 47% in our country. So the spiritual life is collapsing. The social life is collapsing. Now, it comes to today's sermon. The third chapter of Malachi. And I'm going to ask you to read along with me. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Okay? I'm going to ask each and everyone focus on those red highlighted words. Okay? And we're going to read together in a very slow but extremely insightful. Think about how God presents you as an oracle together. Are you able to actually read it from far behind? Are you able to read it? Are you able to read that from far behind? I appreciate it, okay? Very good. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is no point to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirement and going about the mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who fear the Lord talked often with one another, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and thought upon his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my jewel. I will spare them, just as Father has compassion and spared his Son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we commit the entire MCLCC congregation unto you. Father, our country have sinned against you. We fall into iniquities. Father, we confess our sin. You have said that for those who humble themselves and confess the sin, you'll listen to our prayer and heal our land. Father, we're so sad. We are very important that the oracle of Malachi The spiritual life has been collapsing. The social life has been declining. And now our service life, it's also deteriorating. What is the point of serving God, Father? May you anoint the lips of your servant so every single word proceed from his mouth is directly from the Lord. May you bless each and every one of us as we walk out from this chapel, and your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now, when it comes to Malachi, verse 16, it said, "And those who fear the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and thought upon his name." Now, that is actually a very important verse, because the people are questioning, what is the point of serving God? What is the point of serving God? The word serve means worship. Now, why are you wasting your time sitting here and worship God? Why are you here? I'm asking you right now. I'm asking you. Is it waste of your time? Is it wasting your time by sitting right here every Sunday morning, and you have to wake up, let's say, at 8 o'clock doing all your grooming before you drive to the church? You could have stay in bed or go to have morning tea or enjoy your coffee in Tim Horton. Why are you here? Is it waste of your time? What is the point? Now, this is an extremely important question I'm going to ask you. Okay? And you have to answer yourself today. Why are you here? This is extremely important. Why are you here? Okay? So, and they actually questioned God. What is the point? And then they said that, look at the evildoers. Look at the evildoers. Look at those who actually not practicing your law. They are prosper. They prosper. And those who put God on the test, they get away with it. Now, this morning I was driving on Highway 401, okay? And you know those who are in the fast lane? You know what is the speed they're driving? Do you know what is the speed they're driving? Do you know? 140. They treat that as a 427, it's a toll highway. But there's no cop catching them. And you're on the slow lane, you're driving like a slow little turtle, 90 or 100 kilometers, every car is zoom, 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 right on. It's like, look at those evildoers. They get away with it. They get away with it. Have you ever thought about the fact that we are sitting here acting like a fool, serving God, and while people are enjoying the life outside? Have you ever thought about that? And the Bible tells us that we're the little flock, and they actually use four words: we're the fool, we're the fundamentalist, we're the freak, we're the fanatic. You guys are wasting your time worshiping MCLCC. See, we're having fun out there. Look at those who are driving 140 clicks per hour. They get away with it. The evildoers prospers. But remember, God is still in control. It's right there. He's still in control. Then those who fear the Lord talked with one another, and the Lord listened and heard. God listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance were written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and thought upon his name. Now remember, in God's library, there are three books. There are three books in God's library. Now, in your library, it could be more than three books, right? But in God's library, there are three books. The first book we call the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. That is the scripture, the Bible. It reveals everything to us. The second book, it's called the book of Redemption. Now, that is the Lamb of the life that is living in us. Every one of your name, it's written in the book of life of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, who died for you and I. Okay, your name is written. And when you're actually standing in the pearly gate in front of St. Peter, and Peter said, What is the point? Is that where's your name on the book of life? That is your redemption, the book of redemption. The third book, it's right here, the book of remembrance. And God sent his angels and writing down your name on that book of remembrance because you fear God. So the very first thing I want you to think about, why should we serve? The first point, why should we first? Because God remembers his people. And he put your name down on his book of remembrance. Now, what does he remember about you? What does he want his angel to write down about you? The very first thing he wants you to write down, now think about it, memorize it. The very first thing he wants you to write down is your character. That is, your character means a lot to a lot of people. Okay, when you die, when you pass away from this world, it's not your wealth they remember. It's not your health they remember. It's your character. And what is the character? Now, think about it. The very first thing think about it is fear the Lord. Now, the word fear here is not cringing dread. We are not afraid of God. We like his presence, so we are not afraid of him. So it's not like a cringing dread. We're not dread of God. But the word fear means awe, reverence, majesty, and also respect, honor. As God walk into this chapel, you pay respect, you pay honor to him. That is what the word fear of God means. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul described those who are unrighteous. He said there is no fear of God in their eyes. There is no fear of God in their eyes. They don't fear God. And you're going to say the same thing. Does our Canadian government have any fear of God in their eyes? Does our government has any? No. 1981, we passed the law of abortion. Remember Dr. Morgan Taylor? You probably don't know him. He's the very one initiate abortion in this country. All right? And ever since then, each year, we have over 10,000 babies aborted in this country. Now, Pastor Daniel is from the States. Each year, we have over 1 million babies pass away because of abortion. We are talking about the sanctity of life. There's no fear in this continent of God. But God said, life is created by me. And there's sanctity in life. Okay? In 1991-92, we passed the law of homosexuality. People can get married with the same sex. Okay? Along with Belgium, along with a lot of so-called foreign country in Europe. Okay? So homosexuality is allowed. And then we have so-called a gay parade. The gay parade, okay? Actually, gay parade is only the second largest, second to San Francisco. We have the second largest parade from gay people compared to the entire world, second largest. Is this something we should be proud of? Is this something we should be proud of? There's no fear of God in this country. Okay? So think about it, character. And then on 2018, October 17, what happened to our country? Our social life has been collapsing. We passed the law of legalization of pots. The pots are legalized in this country. And before that, they say decriminalize. I hate that word, decriminalize. Okay, I hate it. It's not decriminalized. They legalize it right now. And in April 2019, we're going to sell pots in a corner store. So number one, okay, our spiritual life has been collapsing. The babies are gone. Number two, our social life been collapsing. Our marriage are gone. Okay, number three, right now. Marijuana is coming. So fear of God, think about it. There's no better mark of a good character than to fear God. And there's no better mark of a bad character of not to fear God. If you don't fear God, brother and sister, you have no character. Let me repeat. If you don't fear God, you have absolutely no character at all. So the fear of God is extremely important. And I want you to carry that fear of God in your mind. Okay? Number two, conversation. In verse 16, they said they talked to one another. What are you talking today? What are you saying today? Now remember, I think about a couple of months ago, I mentioned that one story about, you know in a Disney story about Bambi? You heard of Bambi? Anyone heard of Bambi? You know Bambi's best friend is? Who's that? Thumper, right? Thumper. The rabbit. And you know what Thumper said? You know what Thumper said? Thumper said, my mother always warned me, and I remember I was pretty young when I watched that movie, Disney movie. My mother always warned me, exhort me, if there is nothing good to say, don't say it at all. Let me repeat, okay? If there is nothing good to say, don't say it at all. Jesus warned us, every single idle word that proceeds from your mouth will be judged in heaven. Every single idle word, okay, proceed from your mouth will be judged in heaven. Have you ever cursed God? Have you ever said something behind people's back that is not pleasant at all? Today, watch out for your conversation. So they converse with one another and they talk often about serving the Lord. And I want you to keep calling each other and serve. And when in your conversation, in your daily conversation, okay, serving the Lord. Number three, company. Whoever you associate with, reflect who you are. Let me repeat. Whoever you associate with, reflect who you are. If you spend most of the time with people who smoke marijuana, that's what you are. You're the pot people. If you spend with the time with a prostitute, that's what you are. The prostitute people. If you spend the time with the godly people today, okay? Hebrew chapter 10, verse 25. Listen carefully. Do not forsake the assembly of the saints like those pagan, but every day exalt each other and praise the name of the Lord. And I want you not to forsake the assembly of the worship. Do you know why that I come to this church? Because I know Jesus. Do you know why you come to this church? Because you know Jesus. I heard from a minister who visited. How many of you ever been Israel, the Holy Land? Can I see some hand ever visit the Holy Land? None of you guys? Okay. A minister visit Holy Land, Jerusalem, and he walked so-called the Holy Trail, where Jesus Christ, before he died, okay? And then he went into the reconstructed empty tomb. Of course, not the actual tomb, but it's reconstructed. And he saw different people from a different race. Those are the black people, those were the yellow Asian people, and those are the white Caucasian people. And they actually stand right beside the tomb. And one black believer said, you know, everybody, I really love him. He said, I love him. And then everybody said, you're right, we all love him. And they have some tears in their eyes. And they're all from all over the place. Why they keep company with one another? It is because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Okay? And I don't know you. And you don't know me. And why we come together in this chapel here? It's because of Jesus. So keep company with those who know Jesus, who serve Jesus. So we not just, God not just remember us, our character, He not just remember us, our conversation, He remember us as a company. And Jesus said, if you have two or three people accompanied together, and He will be in our midst. Let me repeat. If we have two or three people that accompany together, He will be in our midst. The next one, I want you to remember. Contemplation. Contemplation. And the one who feared the Lord thought upon His name. Now, there's another translation, is to esteem His name, to honor His name. To honor His name. And what is the name of the thought upon the Lord's name? And you said, what kind of name you're talking about? What kind of name you talk about? If you want to get God's attention, curse His name. Okay? Have you ever cursed God's name? Ever? Anyone? Have you ever said Jesus Christ? Have you ever said that kind of word? Anyone? None of you guys, eh? Because I remember when I was young, I got into the bus, okay? I tried to squeeze into one of the big guy's shoulder, and suddenly I hit his bum, and he said, Jesus Christ. He's cursing, but he didn't say Buddha. He didn't say Allah. He just said Jesus Christ. I said, what is the point? Why is he cursing Jesus Christ's name? So if you want to get God's attention, curse His name, okay? And remember, the Bible said, those who use my name in vain will never be guiltless. He'll remember if you curse His name. And if you want to get God's attention, praise His name. Praise His name. The psalmist said that God enjoy the praises of His people. God enjoy the praises of His people. Now, let me give you a suggestion. If you want to have edification and improve and strengthening on your spiritual relationship with God, okay? Memorize His name. Memorize. Okay, now I'm going to give you at least seven names to memorize it. If you're able to memorize it, congratulations. If you're not able to memorize it, write it down. Okay, number one, Jehovah Jireh. It's a compound name between God. Jehovah means Adonai. The spelling is YHWH. It's a Yahweh. Okay, Yahweh. That means Jehovah Jireh. Now, what is the word Jehovah Jireh means? J-I-R-E-H, Jireh. You know what it means? Actually, it derived from Genesis chapter 22. Now, Abraham was trying to offer his son Isaac to God, okay? But in the mind of Abraham, he knew that God would provide another replacement for his son. He knew that. Okay, so he doesn't mind. So he, now as he holding his dagger and try to kill his son Isaac, okay, the angel of the Lord stopped him. Now that I know you love me, okay? So God provide a ram caught in a thicket by its horn and to replace the life of Isaac. And then Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. That means God provide. Now, what is significance about God's provide? Remember, God provide only in His timing. He provide not for your want, but for your need. Let me say it again. It's not you want something. I want $1 million. No, he won't provide that. But he provide for your need. Okay? And in his timing, God providing Jehovah Jireh. Second one, I remember. Okay? Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha is when the Israel, now that's in Exodus chapter 15, okay? When the Israelites was in the wilderness, they passed by a place called Marah, which means bitterness, okay? The water is bitter, so they cannot drink the water because it's bitter, right? So God told Moses to cast a tree onto the river, okay, and turn the bitterness into sweetness. And they can drink the water. So they call that place Jehovah Rapha. God heal. Now, he's healing the water for you so that you can drink it. So he not only heal you physically, he also heal you spiritually. Now, that's very significant. All right? The third name I want you to remember. Listen to this. And that's Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, and when Gideon is facing an angel, okay? And Gideon said, I'm going to die. But the angel said, peace to you. So Shalom means peace, okay? That's the peace of God in your mind. Jehovah Shalom. If you don't have peace of God, you'll never, never be able to serve our Lord. And then we're going to have Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, Nissi. Nissi means the banner of God. When the Israelites was facing the Amalekites, Amalekites was a perpetual sore at the side of the Israelites. Right? And then Moses was trying to lift up his hand on the mountain. And when his hand was high, okay, the Israelite prevails. But when his hand was tired and it came down, the Amalekites prevails. So you know what they did, eh? His company, Aaron and Hur, took a stone and put it right underneath his hand so he can always lift up his hand. So the word banner means it's a group victorious defeat of your enemy. You're going to overcome your difficulties in your battle. The banner means a flag. Think about our Canadian flag, okay? It's the power and the spirit of a nation, all right? What kind of color on our flag? Red and white. Red, they said, originally means the blood of Jesus Christ, who saved us. White is the sanctity and holiness of the Canadian people. But right now, we totally disregard his blood. We despise the holiness of the people. So the banner is gone. Sorry. The banner is gone. We are not using the banner. But now I'm going to lift up another banner. That's the banner of Jehovah Nissi. It's going to overcome your difficulties. We're going to defeat the Amalekites. All right? Now, and also, I want you to remember, Jehovah Raha, Psalm 23rd, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And he guide you, okay, to lie down on the green pasture. He also guide you to rest beside the water of stream. He is our shepherd. And the next one I want you to remember is Jehovah Sikkenu. The word Sikkenu means he is our righteousness. He actually being our righteousness. And he will send forth, okay, the descendant of David, and that's Jesus Christ, and Jesus, okay, will be sin for us, and we will be righteousness in Jesus. That's Romans chapter 5. Jesus will be sin for us, and will be in Jesus Christ as righteousness. And you still have to remember, as you understand the word Jehovah is means the Lord. Because back in the old days, the Israelites dare not to pronounce, so there is no vowel in YHWH. All right? So keep that in mind, Jehovah. Okay, all these names. And remember the name of Christ in Isaiah. Now, this is the seventh name I want you to remember. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it said, there will be a son will be born. Okay? A child will be given. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let me repeat. A son will be given to you. A child will be born. And his name, it's called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty King, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. If you keep meditating, contemplating on his name, congratulations. And in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and be saved. Now, what is a strong tower means? The strong tower is actually a protection. You're safe. The strong tower is also a promise. And a strong tower is also a perspective. When you go up to the tower, you look at things differently. You no longer indulge on your own difficulties because you know that the Lord provides. The Lord is your banner. The Lord heal. The Lord is present. And the next one I want you to remember. So, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares son who serves him. Now, the original translation is, they will be my jewel. How many of you ladies love jewel? Can I see some hand? Jewel. How many of you love jewel, right? Do you love diamonds? Yeah. Okay. And I love diamonds too. Now, 30 years ago, on October 1st, okay, I gave one of these ring, to my beloved wife, whose name is Esther. And I kept this ring until now. Every now and then, especially on October 1st, we just passed our 30th wedding anniversary. And I look at this jewel of mine. I was so delightful. I'm so happy because I married such a godly woman. So God actually rejoices over his people. Whenever you open your jewel box, aren't you be delightful? Aren't you be happy? Aren't you be rejoicing? Am I correct? When you open your jewel box? So he treats us as the jewel, okay? Now this is extremely important. He not just remember our character. He's not just remember our conversation. He not just remember our company. He not just remember our contemplation, but he rejoices over his people. Isn't that marvelous? So I rejoice over my wife. I remember on Valentine's Day, I gave her that's about 31 years ago, okay? I gave her, now you remember on Valentine, you always give something to your girlfriend, right? So I gave her an engagement band. It's like killing two birds with one stone, right? Valentine's present as well as the engagement present. And she said, yes, I want to marry you. And until now, when we take out that engagement band, we have that smile on our face 30 years later. Okay? Rejoice over his people. The next one I want you to remember. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. Now, this is the final oracle. This is the final oracle. Like after this, there will be 4 years complete silence. All right? After, remember, Malachi is the last book of Old Testament, remember? So four centuries of complete silence. But God put distinction between those who serve him and those who do not serve. First Thessalonians, okay, chapter 4, verse 16. You know what he said? God will come down and descend. That's Jesus, okay? Who descend from heaven, okay? With a loud shout. And there will be a voice of the archangel. And there will be a trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And you and I remain on this world. We're caught up in with the people who die in Christ and meet Jesus Christ in the air, in the cloud. And he will actually differentiate between the wheat and the tares, the wicked and the righteousness, and those who serve him and those who don't. Are you the one who's serving God? Remember, God put your name in his book of remembrance. He remember your character. He remember your conversation. He remember your company. He remember your contemplation. He rejoice over you. But last, not the least, and he returned for you. The next one I'm going to, he returns for his people. So 3 points. He remember people. He rejoices over his people. He returns for people. I'm going to sing a final hymn. I love to sing hymn. I'm sorry. So I'm going to sing it before I end my sermon. I hope that you already know the song. If you want to sing along with me, it's fine too. But I'm going to sing it for you. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives, all why you die on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Heartache, broken pieces, ruined lives, oh why you died on Calvary. Your touch, it's what I long for. You have given life to me. You have given life to me. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Lord, it's not a waste of time to sitting here to worship you. It's not in vain to serve our Lord. Why? There are major 3 points. Number one, you put your name down on your scroll of remembrance. You remember us. We are your people. You remember our character. You remember our conversation. You remember our company. You remember our contemplation, our thoughts upon your name. Your name is Jehovah Jireh, Nissi. Your name is Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sikuni. Your name is so precious to us. Your name is wonderful. Counselors, Almighty King, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, you also, you put us in your jewel box. You rejoice over us. And you also return for us to distinguish between the wicked and the righteousness, to differentiate between the one who serve you and those who don't. May you remember our name so that we won't waste 1 second of our life on this planet Earth. May you bless MCLCC so everyone coming to this church